What does it mean to be open? When my wife and I first bought our house, we used to have open Fridays. Anybody could come over. We'd feed you, we'd give you liquor, and we'd have a good time. Those were the good old days before children. Open. Come and go as you please. In corporations, leaders like to say they have open offices. Come in, knock on the door, tell me what's on your mind. And sometimes those doors are really open, and sometimes leaders just say those doors are open, but they're not. And what does it mean when an IT or cloud company says that they're open? Is it truly open? Can you come and go as you please? Or should you know what you're walking into, like when the leader says they have an open door policy? Open source is the hot new dance partner for IT firms. Amazon and Google have been dancing with open source for a while, but now Microsoft and IBM are really making a play for it. And why is that? So this week we're asking the question, is it really open? I'm Joey Lombardi. And this is Sourcecast, episode 49. Before we get to our main topic, let's review the acquisitions that have taken place over the last 8 days. Samsung is buying Harman for $8 billion to further its connected car initiative. Terms of the deal will see Samsung paying $112 per share, which is a healthy premium over the current stock price of $87.65. The transaction will close by mid-2017, at which point Harman will become a standalone subsidiary of Samsung. Verizon snapped up another company, this time LQD Wi-Fi, to expand its Internet of Things strategy into smart cities. LQD Wi-Fi develops outdoor interactive displays that provide Wi-Fi connectivity along with the news. Of course, these devices also act as sensors collecting crowd, weather, and other data. Seems like Verizon is following IBM's lead on the sensor and Internet of Things technology. In the rumor mill news, it sounds like the ex-Autonomy CFO has been indicted for alleged fraud in the HP acquisition. For those of you that don't remember, the formerly combined Hewlett-Packard in 2011 purchased Autonomy for $11 billion. Subsequently, they have been fighting with the former owners of Autonomy due to what they said is an overinflated selling price. And it seems that HP might be validated with this indictment of the former CFO of Autonomy. Speaking of Verizon, there are rumors that 400 employees will be laid off. Those employees are currently working within the AOL division of Verizon, and this is to make room for the Yahoo acquisition. We did a whole podcast on Verizon's acquisition of Yahoo, and at the time, I was very down on the acquisition because they already owned AOL, and I maintained that position. Yahoo's recent security breach situation has done nothing to change my opinion on the deal, even though Verizon will most likely get a discount. Verizon has already purchased a Yahoo-like company via AOL. They haven't done much with that company, and now they're buying more of that kind of company. It makes sense that they want to find alternative avenues of revenue, and they are seeking advertising and content as a means to generate more funds. But perhaps they should have spent a little bit money on the divisions that they already owned and the brands that they already owned instead of going out and buying more for what I think is a devalued brand and something they already have in-house. That was a very open comment by me, and let's talk more about being open as an open source. Microsoft made very big news last week by embracing open source. Not only did they team up with Elon Musk's OpenAI project, but they also joined the Linux Foundation. Many open source advocates and fellow Linux nerds have stated that hell has frozen over. If you're not familiar with the backstory between Microsoft and Linux, former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer was very against open source. He famously stated in a 2001 interview that Linux was a cancer that had to be eradicated. 15 years later, Microsoft, under new leadership, they're embracing this technology. And I think it's pretty obvious why. I think Microsoft sees the writing on the wall, and I don't think it's going to matter what platform you're operating anything under. If you're a company, it should be easy to get your data into these hosted environments. And an open source, universal platform is the way to do that. You can easily get your data on, and in theory, you should be able to get your data out. And you may be saying to yourself, well, why would they want to let you get your data out? And here's the rub. Yes, it should be easy to get in. And yes, the platform should be easy to manage a migration to. But the selling point in the next 5 years is not going to be, I have this awesome infrastructure. That infrastructure is going to be homogenized across the industry for the most part. The value-added service is going to be the applications and the additive systems that you have access to once you migrate your systems over. A great micro example of this is Slack. For those of you that haven't used Slack before, some people like to call it a messaging application, but it's a little bit more than that. It's a full web page. You log into it. It is a means of communicating with coworkers, and it is organized by an organization. You have to join into this particular group. And once you're in there, you can share documents, you can have chats related to topics, and you can join them and exit them at your convenience. One of the other really nice features about Slack is that it is open to other cloud platforms. So if you are a user of Box and you have all of your documents stored there, there is an easy integration method for that. If you like to use one of the multitude of conferencing tools out there, the likelihood is that there is an integration app to have those conferences directly tied into the Slack app. So Slack is not only an application, it's also a platform because it allows all these other apps to integrate within it. Microsoft tried to buy Slack. And they couldn't, and now they're making their own version of it. Microsoft clearly sees the value in having a web-based application that can do a series of things. They have moved the Office platform over into the cloud too via their 365 offering. Microsoft, Google, Amazon, IBM, they are going to continue to do this. Some estimates say within 5 years, software as a service will be all dominating. I don't know if the timeline is 5 years, but I do think that's the direction. No one's going to care how your toaster toasts the bread. They just care that they can put butter on something hot. And your infrastructure and your cloud is going to be that toaster. So the emphasis is going to be on the apps, and it always should have been. The conversations about cloud now are these companies getting their houses in order. They're changing their business models. They're building out a sustainable means to grow these infrastructures out. And then they're going to strike with the apps. And in the time it takes to get there, this will be the time where the industry is going to start to educate and comfort their customers. So they're used to the idea of their data being out in these environments. Small companies are doing it now. But larger companies are still hesitant to have all of their data available in the cloud, especially industries like banking. The low infrastructure prices of the cloud will eventually lure them in. You'll have a primed customer base that will be ready and locked in to buy the apps that these companies will want to sell. Once you get past the data and privacy issues that a large corporation might be worried about, assuming you can find an acceptable platform to operate from, and you will, they will get there. From a desktop computing perspective, it's the dream for a large corporation. It's much easier to manage. It's much easier to deploy the software. If the computer that you're working on bombs, you can easily replace it. The employee logs back in and they're back to work. There's no migration. And there's the downside, because now you are stuck on that app. You have trained a generation of workers, or half a generation of workers, to use these particular applications. And now it's not as easy as just, I'm going to give you a new desktop with a new word processing tool. It's a whole effort to pick that user up and move them on to something else. But let's be honest, it's been really hard for companies to move off of certain types of applications. Do you know of any corporation that's using OpenOffice or LibreOffice versus Microsoft Office? There are literally hundreds of millions of workers in the US that only know Microsoft Office as the Office suite. It doesn't matter if you're on a cloud subscription or not. You have to train these people on how to use these alternative tools. And that takes time and money. So it's never been a situation of just picking up a technology and moving it from platform A to platform B. Or moving an application over, there's a cultural and ecosystem approach to all of it. You have to pick the users up, you have to train them, you have to get them emotionally ready to use these new tools, and then you have your apps. It's important for customers to keep pressure on the software and subscription developers. These software as a service developers need to understand that customers expect and want their data to be portable. At this moment, this is the time for software buyers to let the suppliers know that that is a major requirement to be able to get your application data and move it over to an alternative product, not just a platform, but to actually be able to migrate users from application A to a completely different application B. And they have to sell it as part of the package. And it has to happen now before the infrastructure is completely baked and before they have a conditioned and primed audience. To my US listeners, I hope you have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. And if you're traveling and you're listening to this podcast in the car, safe travels. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music is provided by Google. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.